A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 to 29. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we had been studying the socio-historical, political, and religious situations of the New Testament time. What was the political situation in which Jesus appeared? What was the religious situation? What were the expectations of the people of Jews concerning a Redeemer, the Messiah? Now we come to study the person of Jesus, who is presented as the fulfillment of all these expectations. The passage we read stands at the center of the Gospel of Mark, at a turning point in the life and mission of Jesus and the disciples following him. Towards the end of the Galilean ministry, Jesus is asking the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" It is a historical question. It's a question concerning the reaction of the people to the person and message of Jesus. And we are given various answers. And then Jesus asks the question, "Who do you say that I am?" So this is a question of a personal decision. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus Christ? This question is being asked even today after 20 centuries. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is a person who divides history, it would seem. We all calculate our time as AD and BC. Now we are in AD 2008. AD 2008 means we are in the year 2008 after the birth of Christ. AD is a short form of Anno Domini, year of the Lord. Whether you are a Christian or not, whether you accept Jesus as a historical person or as a divine person, religious leader, or not, even if you deny the existence, a historical existence of this person, you are bound to use this calculation, this method of counting the year AD and BC. Taking a zero, the year Jesus was born, you count as AD 1, 2, 3, reaching up to 2008 today. And you can also go back saying BC, before Christ. So from the zero point as the birth of Jesus, you can go indefinitely towards the future or towards the past. AD and BC extending indefinitely into the past and to the future. So this person, Jesus Christ, somehow stands at the center of history, dividing the entire history of the world as AD and BC. Now many think this is not fair. Many who do not believe in Jesus as the Son of God, or many who do not give any importance to that person, instead of AD, Anno Domini, they would say common era, CE, or Christian era. Even as common era. But what is this common era? Where does it start? Why is this 2008? So it somehow points to a particular incident in history that marks the beginning of a new age or new history. So what is after this event and what is before that event? Instead of BC, before Christ, they say before the common era, BCE. Whatever be the name you use, one is bound to accept the fact that the present history is marked by this particular individual. A person who struck the history in such a way that it split in two, one before and one after him. He's a person who influenced the history more than any other human person. There are more than 200 crores, 2 billion people who believe him as the Lord, as the Redeemer, as God incarnate. They call themselves Christians. And more than 1 billion Muslims consider him a great prophet, even greater than Muhammad and Moses, Isa Nabi, Jesus the prophet. And the others, whether they accept or not, does not, even those who do not accept him as a divine incarnation, cannot deny the fact that this particular individual, Jesus, has influenced the history in such a way much more than any other human being. But who is he? Who was he? A carpenter from Nazareth. A person who did not accomplish any great things. He did not have an army of his own. He did not fight any battle and did not win any war. He is not like Caesar, the warrior, or Alexander, who conquered the entire world, so to say. Nothing of that sort. He did not found an empire, and he did not build any monument, like a pyramid or anything. He did not even publish a book. Nothing of that sort. He was unmarried, and he did not leave any progeny to be called after his name. So what is the importance of this person? He did not travel much. His radius of travels may be about 100 kilometers. At the most, he has gone to Tyre and maybe south to Jerusalem, not more than 200 kilometers from north to south. All the activities and travels were restricted to this particular province, province of Judea of Rome. So, what is the importance of this person? The importance comes from what he did and what he said, and more than that, what he is and what he was. People who followed him somehow found something more than any other human being. So how do we know about this Jesus? We say he's a historical person, but there are many who deny the fact that he was a historical person. That a person called Jesus Christ did not exist. It's only a creation of the disciples, the so-called disciples, especially Paul. It is the Christians who fabricated the myth of Christ and somehow propagated a lie. So Jesus was a figure that was invented by his disciples to substantiate their claim to world dominion, many would say. Is that true? Where do we know? Where do we get documents about Jesus? Of course, there are 27 books we call the New Testament, of which 4 speak explicitly about this person, Jesus Christ, starting from his birth to his death and resurrection. All that we know about Jesus come mostly from these four documents. But many would deny that these are historical documents. These are documents of faith, fabricated by the disciples. Is there anything that is not fabricated? Is there anything that is written by non-disciples? Of course, the entire New Testament are documents of faith, written by believers to communicate their, to hand over their faith and their convictions to the posterity. So these are documents of faith written by believers for the believers. Of course, these could be history, but history interpreted and reinterpreted, read and reread in the life of the church. So before we come to these faith documents, the question is, do we have any other secular document that speak about Jesus Christ? And very often it is said, there is no document at all, neither among the Jews nor among the Romans. Jesus was a Jew. And if he was a Jew, there should be some document about him in the Jewish literature, they would claim. But there is none. The official documents of the Jewish people, there is nothing about Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, it is claimed. On the other hand, it is said Jesus was killed by the Romans. So the Roman documents, is there any Roman document about this particular individual? And again, it is claimed that there is no Roman document that speaks about Jesus. But this absence, first of all, we have to understand why there are not any document. First of all, let us take the case of the Romans. Jesus, as it is alleged, lived in Palestine. And Palestine was a province of the Romans, and the most troublesome province indeed. This was a province that was always in rebellion against the Romans. Of all the provinces, Palestine or Judea was the most rebellious, a people who never wanted to submit themselves to the Roman yoke. So there had been rebellions, always. Ever since Pompey the Great set foot on the land of Israel in BC 63, till 135, when the last revolution took place and Israel was totally defeated and wiped out, so say expelled from the land, there had been so many repeated acts of rebellion. And there were many revolutionaries who organized the people against the Romans. And this organization, rebellious organization, came to such an extent that the Romans were somehow sent out of Palestine, defeated in the year 66 in an all-out war. And then it took 4 years for the Romans to reconquer Palestine and re-establish their rule. So during this time of Roman occupation, there had been many rebellions. And Romans were ruthlessly doing with the rebels, crucifying. And hundreds and thousands of rebels were crucified. So Jesus of Nazareth, called the Christ, is considered as one of these rebels. A person who was arrested, a person who was condemned to death as a rebel, as a revolutionary in a rebellious province, did not find any place in the official documents of the Roman Empire. It's only natural. They wouldn't give any importance at all to such a rebel. So it is quite natural that Jesus did not find a place in the official documents of the Romans. The same way, the Jews. For the Jews, Jesus was considered a false prophet. As we have the documents from the faith documents of the church, Jesus is put on trial, or Jesus was put on trial by the supreme authority of the Jews called the Sanhedrin. He was tried and he was found guilty, guilty of blasphemy, because he claimed equality with God, and only a false prophet could raise such a claim. So a false prophet who claims to be equal to God has no right to live. A blasphemer has to be put to death. So Jesus was put on trial. He was condemned to death. And since the Sanhedrin did not have the authority to execute this judgment, he was handed over to the Roman authority, who put him to death. So the Jews also considered Jesus not as an important person to be mentioned in their official document. Not only that, Jesus and the movement that came after him was very inconvenient for the Jews. First of all, the Christians who called themselves the Ecclesia, the true people of God, the church, was becoming more and more powerful, and they were spreading all over the world, and they were using the documents, the faith documents of the Jews, the Bible, as their own documents. And they were making use of these biblical passages of prophecies in order to claim, in order to prove that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah they expected. And there was a conflict, there was a competition, so to say, between the Christians and the Jews. And in this situation, it's only natural that they wouldn't keep any official document about this particular person. But however, the silence of secular documents about Jesus of Nazareth is not absolute. There are some statements, and true historical, secular historical statements about Jesus, both in the Jewish literature and in the Roman literature. I would like to point out one Jewish document about Jesus, the historical Jesus. This comes from the well-known Jewish historian called Josephus Flavius. Josephus Flavius is a Jew who was a leader during the rebellion against the Romans that started in 66. He was a soldier, or he was a captain of a detachment of soldiers stationed in Galilee. And when Josephus saw that the Jews were losing the war and it was meaningless to resist the Romans, somehow he managed to get the allegiance of the Romans. He changed allegiance. He went to Vespasian, the invading general, and made a prophecy in the name of God, saying that Vespasian is going to be the next emperor of Rome. And in 69, Vespasian was made the emperor. And Vespasian left the siege of Jerusalem to his son Titus and went to Rome. And Josephus, a Jew, went with Vespasian and adopted the name of Vespasian, the family name, and called himself Flavius Josephus, a young soldier. When in AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed, Jews were defeated and deported. Tens of thousands of Jews were sold out in the slave market of the Roman Empire. The Jews had to give an explanation about their rebellion. Why did they fight the war? Why did they fight the Romans? In order to explain that, Josephus, who lived from 37 to 100 AD, wrote the book called Jewish War in AD 75. We have the collected works of Josephus. In this we have two books, two important books. The first is the Jewish War, that covers the period of the Jewish uprising till the end of the Jewish War. So starting the end of the Maccabean rule to the Jewish War. But this was only a partial presentation, why the Jews fought at the Romans. Then he felt there was a greater need of explaining to the Roman public who these Jews are. For that he wrote the book, a great book, Opus Magnum, in 20 volumes, or 20 small volumes, 20 books, called The Jewish Antiquities. In this book, he is dealing the history from the creation of the world to the beginning of the Jewish war. In this book, he makes two mentions about Jesus. The first mention we find in the Antiquities book, number 18, chapter 3, and the section 3. Now, there was about this time, Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him. For he appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. The tribe of the Christians, so named from him, are not extinct at this day. So here in this book, he speaks about a Jesus Christ who was killed. This is the context of when Pilate was making an aqueduct to bring water to Jerusalem, and that caused a great rebellion. And in this context, he is speaking about Jews, about Jesus. At another place, that is in book number 20, chapter 9, verse 1, describing the murder of James the brother of Jesus at the order of high priest and Annas, Josephus tells, Festus was now dead. Festus was the governor. And Albinus, the new governor, was but upon the road. So he assembled the Sanhedrin of the judges, and brought before them the brother of Jesus, who was called the Christ, whose name was James, and some others. And when he had formed an accusation against them as breakers of the law, he delivered them to be stoned. Josephus, the historian, is explicitly stating that there was a person called Jesus, and Jesus was Christ, and he was killed by Pilate. And this person is presented as if known to everybody. So if nothing else is acceptable, one thing is sure. Josephus, the Jewish historian, presents Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus as the Christ, as a person who lived in Palestine at this particular period during the reign of Pilate as governor, and this person was killed at the order of Pilate. So much we can take from a Jewish secular source. About the Roman source, we will see tomorrow. Now, to sum up what I had been trying to say, Jesus is a person who divides history. He stands at the center of the present history. Even though he did not found an empire or win any war, he has influenced the greatest number of humanity, or even the entire human history, greater than anybody else. And to know from him, we go to the New Testament, but besides the New Testament, there are some secular sources that speak about a historical person called Jesus of Nazareth. The rest of the documents we'll analyze tomorrow. Let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us your word, not only through the prophets, through the patriarchs and priests. You have sent your word as your Son, the Word made flesh in Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, Son of God. Enable us to believe in him. Enlighten our minds to understand him. Strengthen our heart to accept him and follow him into life that you give us through him, through our Lord Jesus Christ.